Mark Harris is going to introduce the theme for us today as we get started on this subject, how should we live? Swimming upstream in a downstream world.
Yeah, the exercise this week is to help us just kind of get a sense of the times in which we live and really what God is calling us to do and to be in light of that. Many of the things that we live in a world and we may not even realize it, how much it impacts us, how much it affects us. And what we wanted to do this week is, with the Lord's help, is turn to the scriptures to find some of the answers with regards to how shall we live. Just a couple of introductory comments. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, have a sound outline. That's the new translation. Have a sound outline of sound words. To be able to have an anchor in the craziness of the world that he was living back then, how much more for the day today. Another reason why we want to take up these topics is so that we might avoid the snares. We are going to be constantly, you know, challenged as to how do we think about events? How do we think about circumstances? How do we properly assess what's going on in the world? And how can we be an example and a light and shed light on what's going on, turning men and pointing them to the truth and to the light? And so we want to be able to have answers. Peter was told his audience, he says, be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that lies within you. And so that's why we want to take up these topics. We want to have answers. We have a world that's crying out and is struggling, trying to make sense out of things. And you and I have access to the Creator who has communicated to us. We have answers if we're willing to seek them out and to embrace them. And then obviously so that we might know how we ought to live. So for, I want to just turn our attentions to the second epistle of Timothy. And I know it's a long chapter, but I think it's worth every verse that's in there for us to just sort of set the stage this afternoon for what we're going to look at. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and if I can get someone to just read that for us really quickly, very appreciative. Thanks, Steve.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Thank you. In this one chapter, it sort of sets the stage for what we're going to look at this week. We have the apostle setting a stage and drawing a picture about what's going on in the world. But then he says, Timothy, I have a special instruction for you. Verse 10, you have known my doctrine, manner of life. And then he says in verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. So what we want to look at today is how do I develop, and I'm going to use a word that I don't know may be familiar to you, may not be familiar to you, but it's an important word that helps us kind of craft an answer of how shall we live. And that word is worldview. Every one of us in this room has a worldview. What is a worldview? A worldview is the way we look at everything and assess what it means. It's how we interpret what's happening around us. It's how we look at what's going on, and it's also how we determine how we ourselves are going to conduct ourselves, our lives. It's what we believe about reality. It's the general philosophy of the way we view life. And everyone in this room has one. You may not think of it in those terms, but you have one. It may be shaped and formed by a lot of factors. It may be shaped and formed by your upbringing. It may be shaped and formed by your community in which you live. It may be shaped and formed by the schools that you've attended. It's mostly shaped by the fact that we have families, and we derive a lot of our worldview from our families. Our parents, they teach us, they guide us, they direct us, they showed us different things, and we've developed some kind of worldview from all of these factors. The challenge is that sometimes even those nice, well-formed institutions may give us a worldview that's not accurate, that does not empower us to understand the times in which we live and then how we should live. And what we want to look at is how to develop a biblical or a Christian worldview. Now, for any worldview, whatever you currently have in your mind, whatever you're thinking about, however you look at the world and look at your situation, look at your life, and assess it and determine what's real, you have to answer four questions. There are four questions by which every worldview must be tested, and I'm going to give you those four questions, and what we're going to do is going to go jump right straight to how these four questions are answered from a biblical perspective, and from that biblical perspective, directly show us how we can then live by having a biblically centered worldview. So the four questions are, origins. Where did we come from? The second question is, purpose. Why are we here? The third question is, morality. The question of good and evil. The question of why is things so bad in this world? Why are things so bad when I look in the mirror? Why do I want to get away with things? And why do my conscience prick me, and what is this matter of right and wrong and this quest for justice? And so the third question that every worldview has to answer is, what about the question of morality? And then the final question every worldview has to answer is destiny. What is the end of it all? What are we moving towards? The hymns that we sung sort of capture in our minds that we're really thinking about something that's to come, looking ahead. And so that gives us movement and direction as we see what lies ahead. So those four questions will be the test for every worldview. Origin, purpose, morality, and destiny. And that's something that you have to ask yourself and say, well, how does that apply to what's going on in my life, what's going on in the world? Every idea has consequences. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Idea, it's not an R. There's no R after idea. It's idea. Every idea has consequences. I can have an idea, and I have to be aware that that idea can have consequences. Take, for example, the question of origin. The question of origin is, there are really two questions, two answers that two worldviews hold. One is the naturalistic worldview, which says everything just happened, it's evolution, it's, you know, Big Bang, it's whatever, it's interplanetary seeding, whatever strange notion that men would come up. Or there's the biblical one that in the beginning, God created.